Our scripture lesson today starts, notice I said starts, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. It starts there. Because I have to set the stage for the sermon title, Why Do You Ask? I'm having a lot of fun with that sermon title this week. When I gave it to Diane, she goes, because I wanted to know. And when my wife came in this morning as I was finishing up, she goes, what's the name of the sermon title today? And I thought, here we go. Why do you ask? And she goes, well, because I want to know. I said, why do you ask? Oh, okay. I am so hilarious to myself. But our scripture lesson today starts. It doesn't just come from. It starts at Matthew 19. Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. In verse 16, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Verse 17, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. We start at this scripture. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us. We ask that this message would fill us. We ask that it would answer a few questions and cause others to come forward. We ask that it would be something that we would use to know you closer, Father. These are your words put forth today, not mine. We ask that you would fill our hearts with it, that it would come back full, and we could use it in the week to come. We put these things forward in Jesus' precious name, and all of his children said, amen. Let me try that again. And all of his children said,
amen.
Now listen, if I see you yawning or looking off into space, I'm going to come down, sit next to you, and preach from where I sit. Because I can do that. I have a few notes. You know, when I thought about and decided that I wanted to be married, it made perfect sense to me. I had had a wife. And when I saw the woman that I wanted to be my wife walk into my field of vision, I said, whoop, that's it. And then I heard her talk and I said, man, this girl's got it going on. She needs to have one more thing in her life. She needs me. That is something I know she has regretted for the past 13, 14, 15 years. To me, it made perfect sense. Going to get married now. All right. What's the next step? Build a house. Did that. Checked that off on the list. Got married. Learned how to listen to someone else. I really hated checking that one off. Next, have a family. Made sense, right? Let's have a family. And of course, that meant children, right? And God blessed me, or had his ultimate joke on me, and gave me two at once. And they're nuts. And they get it from their mother. And when they were little, it was, well, the first year was kind of rough because they were colicky and nobody in that house slept. But the second year, they started to move around. I thought, well, this is cool. Look at them go, man. They're turning this way and they're turning that way. Then suddenly they got up and started moving. Well, that's really cool, too. And they started making sounds. And everything was great. Until those sounds began to form into words. And they all seemed to form into one word as they walked a little faster, a little straighter, and got going. They all seemed to form into one word. If you're a parent, do you know what that word is? Why? Why, Daddy? Why? 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 Why, I go to work and I hear that in my head. Why? It was, why is this that, and why is that this, and why? And guess what? It hasn't stopped. That is what I learned. And then, as I started to put this sermon together in my mind a couple weeks ago, I became fully realized that they are the same as me. That I drove my father crazy and people around me. Why? Well, I'm 47 years old. And I still call my father on the phone and go, "Hey, Dad, I'm having problems here with this, that, or the other, and it's not working. Okay, well, you have to do this and this to get that right." Why? Because I said so. Now, I've already preached that sermon. So we're going to look at the other half of why. Things are the same way today. As my boys have grown, the questions have now given me permission as a parent to do the thing that my parents did that made me mad. When they ask me something, I get to say those four words. Are you ready? Why do you ask? Your parents in here, you've all said the same thing. Come on, say it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Why do you ask? Because they're up to no good. That's why. They're up to something. Hey, Dad. Yeah. I was just wondering about your four-wheeler. Yeah. Can you show me how to start that thing? Why do you ask? Well, it's just a neat piece of equipment, Dad, and we think that we'd like to learn how to run it. Why do you ask? Well, Dad, I told Buck not to try to start it. Where is it? Well, it didn't go too far down through the woods. It's a true story. Why do you ask? That is not so much a question as it is a statement. Why do you ask? Jesus Christ talking, why do you ask? You know why we say that? Because as parents, we know the answer. We know something's coming. We know that somewhere, somebody's trying to find out information. And unfortunately, most of the time, they're trying to find out a way to not have to do something. Why do you ask? Well, because if you hear those two words connected together at the end of that statement, get ready, because something's coming. And Jesus knew. The Bible doesn't say a man walked up to him. The Bible doesn't say in a crowd the question was given to Jesus. Matthew, the gospel writer, says, a rich young ruler. He talks about him. He says, what good must I do? Why do you ask? Because he knew. It's something that we all know. Jesus says, why do you ask me about what is good? Can you imagine standing in front of our Christ and asking him that kind of question? You know, like, Jesus, I have a question for you. It has to do with the extra piece of cake left on the plate. Why do you ask? Don't you think you've eaten enough already, Paul? He knows. He knew what was coming. You know why he knew? Because we are who we are. And we know that when we have the answer here and we don't like it, we want to see if there's a way out of it. When I was on my knees, crying, and I'm going to tell you, you want to ask me about that day? I'll tell you that day, and I'll get graphic about it. I won't do it right now. But that day I came home after losing my job because of my great big mouth, and let's not put it any other way, I was on my knees at the front pew at the Harmony Church of the Brethren, crying my eyes out, begging him, why? And I know, why do you ask? You know what you did. Now your time is mine. And you're going to listen to me, Paul Letterman, because I've had enough.
And you're going to do exactly what I tell you to, the way I tell you to. And it's going to be a long, hard road. Yes, you're right. And it has been. And it still is. Just about the time I think I've got everything figured out and I can set that cruise control on the dashboard, he pulls the curve in the road. You know, at the end of the beginning of this month. Hey, Paul, by the way, you're out of a job April 30th. You do realize that's Thursday, right? We're sorry to tell you it like that. But guess what? I got another job. Got another job doing the same thing for the same company in the same place, doing what I've done just for a different section of BG&E, so I'm okay. But I've spent the past 3 weeks in a lot of prayer and just, okay, whatever you want me to do, Father, God, whatever, just tell me where to go. I'll just go there and do that. But we have to learn, why do you ask? We have to learn that when we're challenged, it's for a reason. And the young ruler was challenged. Do you realize that within that scripture, he used a simple word that throws everybody off because everybody thinks the same thing when they first read those scriptures. They think, man, do I got to give up everything? Do I got to give up everything I have? Do I got to live in a cardboard box? Do I got to do all that? No! You missed one word in all them scriptures, and I'll bet you nobody can tell me what it was. You're close. Wouldn't you try it? No. One word. Perfect. Jesus used, go back to your scripture for a minute, verse 21. If you want to be perfect. Can I ask you a question? Is anybody in this room going to be perfect before you go to heaven? Go ahead and put your hands up. I want to see who it's going to be. I fooled you. Thought I was going to put my hand up, didn't you? Perfect. Because he knows. He knows that the challenge is here. He knows that the challenge is then. The challenge is now. Are going to be what we face. And so he wants us to understand that we are to push ourselves forward all the time to follow him. It doesn't mean you have to give up everything. Hey, you might be called to. You know, Bernie and Lee's son is getting ready. 4 years? Five. Two. Two years, they're about to go to Haiti and serve as missionaries. And they have to give up everything to do it, if I'm not understanding. Sometimes that's going to be called of you. Look at Dr. Charles Nayani. That man has to give up so much to serve the Lord. You understand? It's a big deal when he comes here, isn't it? Oh my golly, Charles is coming. Charles is coming. Paul, you going to put him on that big motorcycle and scare him to death again? You better know I am. But that man spends 6 months here raising awareness for his mission, away from his family, for 6 months. See, sometimes you might be able to have to do that. The young ruler knows with his question and then his response, he knew the answer was right there all along. Verse 22, when a young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. I am not telling you that you ain't allowed to have nothing. I'm telling you that when you're called, answer. With don't answer with why. Answer. Why will get you into trouble. Sometimes why makes you scratch your head when you hear certain things, doesn't it? Let me read this to you from an army manual. See if anybody else caught the humor of this. From an army manual, quote, 10 pegs aluminum, 9 inch, NSN 8340-00-261-9749 must be painted orange. The bright color provides an easy means of locating the pegs under various light and in climatic conditions during field use. When the bright orange pegs are used, they must be driven into the ground completely out of sight. What? Why? That's in a manual. Everybody asks why. Listen to these words. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee,
along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "Listen now, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going on a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus is asking why. He's looking at his Father and saying, "If it be possible," and I know God probably said, "Why do you ask? You know. You know." The scripture goes on a little further. We know that Jesus came back and found them asleep, woke them up. In verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "If it is not possible, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." That's powerful. That's a teaching point right there. Why do you ask? Because he knew what was coming. He knew the suffering he was about. He'd been talking about it for 3 years. He knew. And he wants us to know the suffering that was coming because he knows the suffering that we will go through. That's why these words are in this book, people. Brothers and sisters, he puts this stuff down here, Matthew did, with the divine intervention of God Almighty, that we may read those words and understand that the same troubles that overwhelm Jesus overwhelm us every day. And though we may ask why, God has a plan for us. Amen.
Amen.
We know the answer. We know. I knew. I knew the answer that day. When I sat in a room with men who said, "Hey, I got to fire you because of your big mouth," 2 days after I was hired, I knew the answer. We know the answer. And yet sometimes we don't want to hear it. We ask why, or we'll say, "God, can we do something else?" Or, "Hey," and God will look at us and go, "Why do you ask? I have my plan for you. I know what will happen. And you may not like the answer. And you may be tempted to walk away like the rich young ruler." I have a point with this. Flip your Bibles around to John chapter 21 in the 15th verse. In my mind, in my thought, in my belief, we are still in the Easter season. Do you know how long we'll be in the Easter season? Until we get to Christmas. And then how long will it be in the Christmas season? Until we get to Easter. So you see, it never stops. Everybody says Easter was a couple Sundays ago and is all done. You are wrong. You are challenged with Easter to remember the resurrection of our Lord. John chapter 21. We're still with the Lord right now. As he has returned, as he has rose up. Jesus sitting with my man, that big mouth of the bunch, Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Alright, I'm going to stop at that moment before we get to the next response. Jesus Christ is sitting beside of you and asks you that question. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." I can almost see that. Let me rephrase this a little bit. We all know what Peter did, right? He denied Jesus when it counted most. Jesus saw him. He went outside and cried, the rooster crowed. Now he thinks, "Oh man, the Lord's back. Everything's good. Woo, boy, we're going to have a good time now, ain't we? I'm all okay, man. Jesus actually sat down beside me here at the seashore, and we're eating, and we're going to take a little break. How you doing, Simon? Do you truly love me more than these?" "Of course I do, man. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. I'm the guy. You know I love you." He's all brash. The first statement, "You know that I love you," Jesus said, "feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because the Lord asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Why do you ask?" Peter's sitting there at that moment and says, "Why do you ask?" And then the second time, well, why does he keep asking this? I'm sure his cloak was starting to get a little hot and he was starting to sweat because he knew what was coming. Three times denied, three times asked. I need to make sure. In the late 60s, and this is a song I love, but in the late 60s, a girl who was unsure, who had lost her way, she started asking the Lord, "Why? Why?" And I guess the Lord answered her because he gave her the words to write down and the song to sing, and he explained it to her. "Why do you ask?" Sounds good enough. Said, "Why do you ask?" So he gave her the words to explain it to her. If you ever question why we do what we do, gifted and driven and focused and led by the Lord, this song will tell you the answer. Written in the late 60s, I think, and a popular song. I don't think it's heard nearly enough. And I am going to sing it because I finally got enough wind to do it. It's simply called "For Those Tears I Died." You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray. Jesus said, "Come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you, for those tears I died. Your goodness so great, I can't understand. And dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love loosed my chains, and in you I'm free. Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied. Felt every teardrop when in darkness you
and I strove to remind you. For those tears I died, Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know that without you I'd never be whole. Savior, you've opened all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shores. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you. For those tears I died. That's the answer. That's the answer. When we set about getting ready to ask why, that's the answer. For those tears he died. When we want to ask that question, we know that God's going to say to us, why do you ask when you know the answer? When you are challenged, brothers and sisters, to love the neighbor that you don't like, to do something you don't want to do, to reach a little deeper inside this week, for those tears he died. Why do you ask? I already know the answer. Because if it, Jesus did it, I do it. That's it. Again, from the words of that first hymn we sang this morning, my Savior's love, I want you to listen to that third verse. In pity, angels beheld him, and he came from the world of light to comfort him in sorrows. He bore for my soul that night. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Why do you ask? Because you've forgotten. So I challenge you this week, don't ask why. Just get to it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us that we never see. We thank you for the hard times, because without them, we wouldn't know what it would be like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. You are definitely always with us. You are definitely always with me, Father. You are definitely always with those who call on your Son's name and accept that he is the risen Savior sent from heaven to save us, walked on this earth as a man, and died. We thank you, Father. And we know that we're still going to go, why? And we know that your response to us will be, why do you ask? You know. Strengthen us, Father, to do the things that we don't want to do, so that we may be in joy for doing them. Give us the tongue of praise, Father, for the things that we don't want to do and yet did, and the greater glory comes from it, that we may share it, shout it, and use that as a blessing. Strengthen us, Father. Strengthen us. We ask these things through the Holy Spirit. We ask them in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And all of his children said, amen. If you have a particular need as we sing the last hymn, my faith looks up to me. That's good, right? Up to
Never mind, it's the simple things that make me happy. As we sing the last hymn, if you have that particular need, the prayer bench is open. You can leave it here. If you need me, I'm here. But I ask that you don't leave without knowing. God bless you.